Hallelujah. A few weeks ago, of course I wasn't here, but I heard that the Lord started speaking to you guys about some challenges that were coming your way. I don't know, I heard my brother that he's had a hard week. Sometimes we all have hard weeks, but there are some challenges that have come our way, yeah?
Yes. Yes.
But God is able to fix it.
Yes.
God is able to take every circumstance. He will not let us down.
Amen.
And I was listening, I forget who even, but they were mentioning this verse, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 16. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, 15, sorry. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards, while our vineyards are in blossom. Little foxes that come our way that try to destroy things. The point was, yes, the foxes come, but it's at harvest time. And so when difficult things come, when the enemy attacks us in an area, it demonstrates to us what God wants to do.
Amen.
And I just want to share with you today that God wants to demonstrate His unity in your midst.
Yes.
Unity is so crucial. Yeah? Now, there is provision for unity. Jesus prayed it in the book of John when he prayed his high priestly prayer. He made some amazing declarations. My experience is that many of us in the body of Christ, we don't really believe what God says. We say we do, but when it comes right down to it, we still live in guilt. We still live in condemnation, yeah? Whereas God makes it clear who we are. He wants to make us know and believe the identity that He's given us. In ourselves, yeah, we're a mess maybe, but through Christ, everything changes. Is that true?
Yes.
Everything changes. So in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, this is Jesus praying, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through thy word, that they may all be one.
Hallelujah.
That is God's heart. That is God's desire. Even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. Now, clearly, the unity that God wants to bring all depends on Jesus. As we're in Christ, that brings a unity amongst us. So it all is based on relationship, isn't it?
Yes.
Here's a verse that's amazing. Verse 22, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. We've all heard the verse, God will not share his glory with another, right?
Yes.
The reason we heard it, it's said twice in the book of Isaiah. But when you look in Isaiah, it's clearly dealing with idols and other gods. He will not share his glory with another. But you and I are not another.
Amen.
We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We belong to him, right? And he said that he would share his glory with us.
Hallelujah.
I didn't say that. He said that.
Hallelujah.
And his glory is who he is and what he does. In other words, himself. He shares himself with us, and there's a purpose for it. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. So that's what it's going to take. That's what it takes. It's the presence of God in our midst that brings unity, that makes us one with him and with each other. Right?
Right.
I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity. And here's the reason, listen, that the world may know that thou didst send me and didst love them even as thou didst love me. It's really, in a sense, an evangelistic tool for us to demonstrate love and unity in our midst. That's what the world notices, that the world knows the church is split, the world knows that nobody gets along, the world knows all that, or they think they do. But when we demonstrate who Jesus really is, and we walk together in unity and in love, it changes everything. Yeah? So God, Jesus, has already made provision in himself for us to have this unity. In the Word of God, my best understanding, there are four areas of unity. In Psalm 86, I think, verse 11, it says, Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. That's where it all starts. That the Lord unite our heart. That we have a... that we be honest before the Lord. Listen, here's the reason this is so important. I am convinced that God's about to move in an amazing way in the earth.
Amen.
The prophets are speaking it. Everybody seems to have an understanding of it. I am not interested in just knowing about it. By His grace, I want to be a part of it.
Amen.
Yeah?
Yes.
Which means, if there's anything in my heart that's in the way,
yes,
I want Him to deal with it.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Lord, unite my heart,
yes,
to fear thy name. You can do that. Only you can do that, but you can,
yes,
do that. You will not. You will not, you will not let us down if we come to him, you and ask you to do it. Yeah? Unite my heart to fear thy name. Psalm 133, you know this psalm, says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to what? To dwell together in unity. There the Lord commands a blessing. So there's a real benefit to that unity. We can expect the blessing of God to come upon us. There's one of I think, seven things in the book of Proverbs that God says he hates. And one of them is sowing discord among the brethren. In other words, this is a big thing. This is a really big thing. That we ask the Lord to unite our hearts, but that we also ask him, Lord, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's not just in our local assembly, but it's the body of Christ at large. That's going to take a miracle, but God's doing that. God is lifting us above denominational walls. And more, because of the crises in our nation and in the world, we're recognizing our brothers and sisters, no matter where they are. And that's a real blessed thing, right? Because, in other words, God is doing something already in the earth that's demonstrable. How good and how pleasant it is for them to dwell together in unity. In Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. There's a unity in the Spirit. Doesn't mean we agree on everything. Doesn't mean we all have the same doctrine. But endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. It's an important thing. And a few verses later on, it says, he's given the fivefold ministry until we all come into the unity of the faith. God is going to bring us into our believing what's the truth. Because only the truth changes us, right?
That's right.
And so you and I want to believe the truth. We don't always all believe the truth, but God's working on it. And he's going to bring us, not only, he wants us to, it's our responsibility, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's our responsibility. But he's given the fivefold ministry to bring us into the unity of the faith, where we believe what he says is true. Right?
Amen.
That's our heart. That's our hope. So there is power. There's purpose in unity. There's God gives purpose. The purpose, one of them, is to reconcile the world unto himself. That the world will see,
yes,
and what we have. Is that true today? Well, sometimes, not always. But that's what God wants, right? Purpose for unity. And, of course, there's power in unity. In the Old Testament, I won't read it, but you know, when the world decided at Babel to build a tower that reaches unto heaven, remember that? And God says they have one language. In other words, they're united in purpose. And so we've got to do something about that, because if we don't, nothing will be impossible for them.
Right.
That's an amazing verse.
Yeah.
God said that. Nothing will be impossible. So, in other words, unity can bring tremendous power. That's in the negative, but it certainly would be true in our sphere, right? If we walk together, if we are united, then God will do something in our midst. Nothing will be impossible. We know that's true anyway in God, right? Nothing is too hard for Him. We're believing God for some things. I mean, I won't even share what they are, but for some things that look totally impossible and crazy to believe. But nothing.
Amen.
I mean, either nothing means nothing or it doesn't.
Exactly.
Nothing is impossible for God.
Amen.
And when we're united, it just changes everything. We are the body of Christ. My body, believe it or not, is united with itself. There was a teaching years ago, I haven't heard it lately, fortunately, but the idea of unity was uniformity. If I do it, you've got to do it. Everybody's got to do the same thing for us to be united. But that's certainly not true in my body. I've got all kinds of members of my body. They're doing different things. My feet are standing, my hands moving, my eyes are looking at you. So there's diversity in my body, but my body is united. When it isn't united, it's sick.
Yes.
That's when it isn't united. And then when there's something in this body that's not supposed to be there, we call it disease or sickness, right? But when the body is whole, it is united, even though it's doing all kinds of different things at the same time. And that's a good thing to know, that each one of you has a ministry, has a call, has a purpose, each one of you. And as you fulfill that, the body yet is united. There's no competition in the body. My hand is not in competition with my foot. Huh? If yours is, you're in trouble. We're not in competition with each other. And I mean, we think we are sometimes. Why can't I be as good as him? Why can't I do what he does or she? But that, we're one body. If we can just get that, if God can put that into our hearts where we really know that. And the demonstration of it, in the book of Colossians, it talks about it. Colossians 3:14, I believe it is. There you go. Colossians tried to hide on me. 3:14. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. That we would demonstrate God's love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Paul writes quite a bit in the Word about being of the same mind, thinking the same thing. And it's really who Jesus is. So in Philippians 2, for example, the first few verses, if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, when the word says if, it really means since. It doesn't mean like we use if it's going to rain today. It means since. In other words, there is. Since there is any, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Wow. Now that's an encouragement for unity, isn't it? That's Paul's asking, because these things are true in Christ, because these things are available, let's walk out this whole thing united. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Wow. Now there's a verse you don't see on your refrigerator. Right? And yet it's such an amazing verse. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And here the demonstration is for this reason. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Even the Lord Jesus himself, who could have used his who he is, didn't. So, if we're going to be united, we want to really honor one another. That's a big thing, right? By God's grace. 2 Corinthians 13:11. 2 Corinthians 13:11. In several of the books, Paul in his conclusion prays, and in 2 Corinthians 13:11, he says this, "Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." We want the presence of God. I know you guys pretty good, and it's one of my favorite places to come, our favorite place to come, because you're family, because you do love each other, but also because you want God. You want his presence. I mean, what else is there? We're not a club, right? We're his body. We want his presence. But it's so important to walk. Unity will bring his presence. It will bring his presence. And so I just want to encourage you, even regardless of what you're going through individually, and regardless of what the challenges are in the assembly, God's purpose is for us to demonstrate unity. And so in this next season, to just ask the Lord, "Lord, unite my heart. Show me if there's anything in this heart that is contrary to what you want to do." And then endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because when something hard happens, when the enemy comes in, it can be a demonstration of what God really wants to do. You understand what I'm saying? And one of the things that I think is happening in your midst, there's been an attack on unity. And so we just want to counter that by God's grace. Not talk about it, just pray, believe God, and God's going to give the breakthrough. Amen. Yes?
Amen.
Is he able?
Yes.
What? That's true. It's true in the converse too. Unity brings God's presence, but God's presence brings unity.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. So can we believe God for that?
Yes.
Amen. I believe we're on the verge of some amazing things.
Amen.
Amen. And I appreciated your testimony, brother. That could have gone badly, using the right English. Right? That could have gone badly. Yeah, but God, which is a total shock. I imagine it was to you. When you started hugging the big boy, you didn't know where that was going. You did not know. And then to see God break someone and become honest and believing that the presence of God in you would make a difference. And that's what we all want to believe God for.
Amen. Amen.
When we're in the midst of the grocery store, who knows what's going to happen? See, now you have a new thing to look forward to. Every time we're around the corner, what's going to happen? What's God going to do? All right, let's pray. Father, you are an amazing God. We thank you, Lord, that what you have begun, you will finish. You are a finisher in our lives. And I pray today, Lord, for each one of us, if there's an area of our lives that needs correction, that you would correct it. Lord, that you would cause that love that is in this house, that's in your people, to continue to be demonstrated. And Lord, for those perhaps that are going through things right now that aren't here today, that you would minister to them and bless them and just do what you need to do, what only you can do, Lord. Be with with Brother James and his family as they're celebrating in North Carolina. Bless them mightily. Let it be beyond anything that they would even have imagined to be. And just surprise them with your goodness. Do it in all of our lives. We commit today. We commit this week. We commit the rest of this year to you, Lord, that by the end of this year, we would see a demonstration of who you are and what you do in a greater way in each of our lives. And we'll thank you, give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
You, Lord, oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.